This is Thursday, and that means it's time for our weekly salute to a local hero, someone who's making his or her corner of Michigan a better place. And why are we playing old movie music, you ask? Well, this week, we're going to Grayling in its historic Rialto Theater. We've seen these small movie theaters on the main streets of small towns all over Michigan. And all too often, the marquees are blank, the theaters are closed, done in by the multiplex in some neighboring bigger city. But there are those who are working to preserve these small theaters and keep them vibrant. One such person is Jordan Stansel. He and his father, George, are the founders of the Rialto Film Club in Grayling at the Rialto Theater. Jordan joins us now from Ottawa, where he teaches U.S. history, economics, and international affairs at the University of Ottawa. Jordan, I have to ask, how did a University of Ottawa professor wind up breathing new life into an old movie theater in Grayling?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. Well, I was born and raised in Grayling, and I still spend a significant part of the year there. And my family has operated the Rialto Theater since 1915. The current building goes back to 1930, so we're coming up on 100 years. And so I've always been involved in it, worked there as a teenager and a younger person, and still involved in it and still devote a lot of my attention to what goes on there.
So tell us about the theater itself. It has been in operation since 1915, but this one is a rebuilt one, but it goes back quite a ways too, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's actually been a theater of some kind on that same site since 1882, and Grayling was founded only in 1872. So that spot has been a place for performances of one kind or another for a very long time. And really, the movie theater, was built in the first one built in 1915, and burned down in 1929, and then it was rebuilt in 1930. And it has a 400-seat capacity at this point. Screen is about 40 feet, single screen, so it's not one of these ones that got twinned or tripled or whatever in the 70s and 80s. It's a very beautiful, really a lot of nice Art Deco features in the decor of the building. And we have a big marquee, which was put on in 1940. So really is a historic kind of anchor of downtown Grayling.
I know as I drive through towns, and I love getting off the freeway and driving through the secondary roads and going through towns in Michigan, it makes you sad when you go through a town and you see that theater and the marquee is blank and you know it's died.
Yeah, we're proud to say that we're open right in the fall and winter. We're open 5 days a week and every day in the summer. And I think it does make a big difference to see those lights come on. And I talk to a lot of people in town that are proud of that, and it does mean something to the community, I think, to have that that there. We bring, if you add it all up over the year, thousands of people to movies downtown in our community every year. And without that, it would be a different place.
So talk to us about how you and your father, George, came up with the Rialto Film Club. How does it work?
Well, what we wanted to do was just sort of expand the programming that we offer to the community beyond some of the more mainstream Hollywood blockbusters and attract an audience that might be a little bit older than what's become the norm at movie theaters these days. And so we decided to start a monthly series of independent films. A lot of them would be foreign films. A lot of them would be U.S. films. But maybe the ones that are real good and people would really enjoy, they do well at some of the festivals, but they don't have any of the marketing muscle behind them. And they don't get, a lot of ads on TV. They're not necessarily mentioned on the talk shows or anything. And we thought that if we created a specific, series of these movies and then sold passes specifically to that, it'd be a way for us to sort of present that kind of material in our town and add something to the cultural and entertainment mix that wasn't there before.
So how long have you been doing this with the foreign independent films? And most importantly, how are the people of Northern Michigan receiving them?
Well, we're just coming up now on our one-year anniversary, actually, because we started doing this last December. And by the end of the year, we will have shown, I think 15 different titles, because some months we doubled up a little bit. So we've done pretty well with it in terms of the response. We've had a good response, very enthusiastic, not huge, but certainly it does add something to what we are able to provide. And you know, on a commercial for-profit basis, we're able to show a number of subtitled foreign films and a number of pretty much unknown U.S. independent films in this market. And we think that's a pretty cool thing to be able to do. So we've had a real good response.
And you've made it something that people can afford. The pricing structure for the Rialto Film Club, what, tickets are only $6?
Yeah, that's actually, well, in fact, our ticket prices are always only $6, and
oh.
We have a matinee price of $5, and we have some other discounts. And the way our film series is structured is that we try to play at least one of those independent or foreign movies every month. And you can buy a pass to see any five within 12 months for only $19. So it is a very good deal. The reason that we do it that way is that we want this to be accessible to everybody, and we also want all of our movies to be accessible to everybody. And when you think about the role that a theater like that plays in a small town, you know, we have to be there for all of our citizens, and so that everybody in the community can have a chance to go out for an evening out at the movies, you know, and then we like to be able to make sure that we provide that.
So you offer the mainstream movies, so the kids can come see the X-Men or something like that.
Yeah.
But give me an example of some of the films that you've offered through the film club in the last year.
Yeah, we have a range really of things, and I think I would like to highlight that point that we are not in any way rejecting or changing from being a mainstream first run theater.
Right.
We did premieres of, you know, movies like Batman and Spider-Man this summer and all that sort of thing. So that's the main thing we do. And in terms of the film club movies, the most recent one we did was Robot and Frank, which was a very good American movie with Frank Langella. I highly recommend it. We played a historic classic, The Bicycle Thief from Italy, a 1940s neorealist film. We also paired that then with Kid with a Bike, which is a recent Belgian movie, which did very well in the Cannes Festival. We're going to have Beast of the Southern Wild, which was a prize winner at the Sundance Festival, another American movie. And I guess if you look way back earlier this spring, we ran a Separation. That's the Iranian movie that won Best Foreign Language Film last year at the Academy Awards.
Yes.
So we've had a number of countries represented, really. We've had Germany. We've had, like I said, Iran. We've had a Chilean movie and a number of U.S. movies. So really a tour of the world right there in Grayling.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Jordan Stansel. He and his father, George, are the founders of the Rialto Film Club in Grayling. Their family has been running the Rialto Theater in Grayling since
1915.
That is quite a track record. And you must have a very good perspective, Jordan. And I know you are a former U.S. diplomat in Europe, so you have seen how theaters work in cities in Europe. Compare and contrast the role of that small town movie theater here in the U.S. compared to towns in Europe.
Yeah, it's a good point. I think that one of the things that you do see in some European countries is the sense that the local movie theater is not only a place for entertainment, but it's also a place for culture and for education. And I think that, you know, to the extent that we're able to offer a unique program in our community, I think that we're sort of playing that role too here in the U.S. And I think more theaters should try to do that. And I think they'd find that there's a market for that.
Are there other theaters in Northern Michigan kind of following your lead and adding a different kind of more independent fare?
There are some, yeah. I think there's a pretty good scene, actually, in Northern Michigan for this. But of course, the biggest thing you have to mention is the Traverse City Film Festival.
Certainly.
Which is every summer. And that has done a lot to promote the notion that there's more out there for people. You know, there's a lot you can enjoy at a movie theater besides just the blockbusters. There's a theater in Sutton's Bay, the Bay Theater, outside Traverse City, which also runs a monthly series of foreign films. And so, you know, we're not the only ones by any means that are doing this, and we don't want to be. I'd like to see this kind of thing happen everywhere across the country.
Jordan, what do you think that what you're doing and in Traverse City and Sutton's Bay, the kinds of films you are screening, what do you think that says about perhaps studios' preconceived notions of what will or won't play in small towns across America?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, because studios, I think, have a very narrow view, and I'm certainly not the first or the only person to say this.
Sure.
But they really are, you know, focused on that teenage audience these days. And that's one of the reasons that we are able to do well with our alternative programs, is that there are a lot of people who would like to go and watch a movie, but they don't want to see, you know, robots beating each other up or listen to a bunch of car explosions or whatever. And so I think that, you know, what's happened in movies is that, unfortunately, there's a very narrow view of kind of what the market is and how you can make money. And the other thing is that the business model that the studios kind of impose on the theaters is really driven by, you know, the nature of what a multiplex is. And so they sort of, it's hard for the single screens to kind of exist in that environment where everything is designed to just be sort of shown on a screen for you know, a few weeks and then basically forgotten about.
Right.
You know, that's not a very useful way of doing things for us.
Jordan, what have you and your father, your family, gotten out of running this theater? Just having this theater in your lives?
Oh, a lot of headaches and a lot of free popcorn, I guess, would be the main thing we got out of it. And if they ever find out that, you know, popcorn kills you, which don't tell me if they've already found that out.
You don't want to know that.
I might not want to know, yeah. I think, besides those other things like free movies and free concessions, which we enjoy, we like to kind of consider the theater as one of the anchors of downtown Grayling. And we like to think of that as something that is provided for the people of the community. And when I was working there this summer, and you see people, you know, younger kids coming in to, like, the midnight premiere of Spider-Man and Batman and stuff like that, they wouldn't have an option to see those things at that time. Maybe they can't drive. You know, a lot of times you think that people can drive out of town. And I think providing that kind of entertainment to people in the town is really important for us.
And just the atmosphere of being in an old building, Art Deco, architectural touches, the big screen that I know I grew up with. My theater in Ferndale, sadly, the Radio City Theater, fell to the wrecker's ball too many years ago. Mm-hmm. But there is a different feeling to attending a movie in a building like the Rialto than in the anonymous multiplexes.
Yeah, well, it's a really big job to try to keep that building up, and there's always more that we can do, and we're actually doing a number of renovations right now and continuing over the next year or so. And I think that what I like to think about is that, you know, the building itself should be as important to your experience as what's on the screen. You know, movies should be something special. Going to the theater should be something special, and there should be a kind of aesthetic and architectural pleasure in that. That certainly the pole barns that are set up on the edge of towns and pass as movie theaters today, that they certainly do not fulfill that role, and they don't try to.
Jordan Stansel, thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Jordan Stansel and his family have been running the Rialto Theater in downtown Grayling since 1915. And if you know someone who's making their neighborhood, town, or our state a better place, let us know. Write to us at stateside@michiganradio.org. They could be our next local hero.